It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we open up the show here on Monday, another aftermath. This time, the aftermath of the loss to Denver. The streak is over. We had to get rid of the Chargers Open and the Denver Open. So we need some new imaging coming up here. We got to get a win so I can put together some new opens with Bobby. It'd be nice to do it against the Steelers as we open it up. Hope everybody had a good weekend, and I hope your weekend isn't defined by a game. I hope you got family and friends and you went to a wedding or a christening or church or something so you're not miserable. Because I'm not miserable today. I'm actually pretty fired up. I got back from the Raiders early this morning. Real interesting story, Bobby. I take the 215 to the 15, and I take the 15 to St. Rose to the Raiders. St. Rose is closed. I mean, it was closed. I think it's because of that fake train they're building, the worst idea ever. The fake train that doesn't go to L.A., it takes you an hour outside of L.A. You can fly for $39 to L.A. each way, but they want to build a train that won't get you to L.A. It'll get you like an hour away from L.A. where you need like a $200 Uber or rent-a-car. So the road was closed. I had to drive to Sloan. I've never been to Sloan. I've been here since 1996, and I never got off the Sloan exit, which is only one more from St. Rose, where I go to work at the Raiders. Freeway, I had to jump in, people beeping the horn, do a U-turn, and got there in time to interview Rich Gannon. And I was like, man, how long are they going to close that road? That's an artery for me to deep, deep, deep Henderson. Remember, I don't live in deep, deep Henderson. I live in Summerlin, the main street. So that affected me today. So I started off going a little traffic today. I don't want any traffic in Vegas. I want it to remain nice. But we just came up with something new. We call it the mini monologue. I went on YouTube 5 minutes early, and I went nuts, starting to yell at people. And then one of the guys in there said, the mini monologue, I like that. I said, yeah, we got to get a sponsor for that. Everything for me is a sponsor, right? So let's get one for that. And when I told our YouTube audience, where you can be exclusive for free at JT the Brick YT, is that here we go again. And that is the focus of the monologue brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. You know, they're our official partner, the Golden Knights. Bobby reminded me the Knights start on Wednesday. There's a home game on Friday, so we get some hockey here, which I love hockey. I love hockey, and I love this team, the Vegas Golden Knights. So here we go again. The Raiders cannot stack wins. They just can't do it. And why can't they do it? There's a number of reasons why they can't do it. First off, they're not a great team. I think they could be a good team. Remember, I told everybody in the offseason on every show I go on, the Raiders are pretty good. They're better than you think. I didn't think that six guys would be injured every game, and most of them starters. I didn't think Epps would be gone for the year, and Christian Wilkins was hurt his foot, and Max would have a high ankle sprain, and Malcolm Kuntz would be gone for the year, and Michael Mayer would have a personal issue. I didn't think all this would happen. No one gave me the memo that would happen by week 4 or 5. So didn't know that, but I like the team. I like the guys. I like the coaches. You know, I pretty much enjoy my life with the Raiders here. But other people want me to be miserable and just fall on a sword or drive my car off a cliff into Raiderland and just walk away. I'll tell you when I'm going to walk away. Either they're going to make me walk away or I'll walk away. But I'll give you a heads up when that happens. It's not happening now. So, again, we start a week off on Monday with tremendous drama. I don't like drama. Remember in the summer, it was nice. We had nothing to talk about. Oh, my God. The only thing we had to talk about was where I was going to have some drinks in Costa Mesa. I had nothing to talk about all summer. It was quiet, and that was good. No one was talking about the Raiders. There was no Raider drama, and we were all just sitting around wondering what the season's going to look like. Schedule's going to be tough early. But the Raiders got to 2-2, which we all agreed, 99% of us, that was good. 2-2 is good because there's a lot of chaos going on. We're not getting good quarterback play. We got a lot of injuries. Injuries and average quarterback play, and we're 2-2. Holy crap. Then we go to Denver. Get to Denver, and Denver goes, we're going to change the end zones. We're going to wear throwback uniforms. We're going to bring out our legend that just got into the Hall of Fame, Randy Gradishaw. We're going to elect some other guy into our Ring of Honor that's nowhere near a top 30 player in Raider history. And we're going to bring our alumni back, and we're going to win this game. Really good plan, because they were sick of losing eight in a row. And as you know, the head coach has never beat the Raiders, Sean Payton, as the head coach of Denver. Great plan. Go all in. We do that with our alumni. We do that when we light the torch every home game. We do that when we bring E-40 or we bring in Ice Cube for halftime. We're trying to get the energy going. They did. And we go into Denver and we kick their ass so badly in the first 10 minutes of the game, I'm sitting there going, whoa, wait a second. We might blow them out. It's a blowout. So the first topic of the day is a really important topic. It's a really important topic. Is that how dare you blame the coaches for the first quarter of play of the first half? That wasn't on them. The coaches were magnificent to start the game. You cannot debate that. They were ready to play. I heard from reports live inside the coaches' meeting, the team meeting the night before the game, electric. They came out of the tunnel. Max was jumping around crazy, and Gardner Minshew gave a speech in the tunnel, and they go out to a 10-0 lead. They are rolling. As the coach said today, rolling was the word he used. So let's stop the show. What's the problem with the coaches? What's your problem? They were ready to play. They're motivated. They're 2-2. No one can play. Everybody's hurt. The best player on offense wants a trade, and he's talking to people on podcasts, and the team's good to go. That's pretty big. I think that's pretty cool. And then one play blows up the entire football game and literally blows it up like a volcano. One play. Now, this is 27 years with me in the team, so I've seen one play before happen, but normally not. Normally, one play does not lose a game. It's multiple plays. It's 10 penalties. It's an interception. It's a missed field goal. There's a bunch of things. Rarely in my career, in the regular season, have I seen one play that destroyed a football game. Here it is. All right, we'll get to that in a second as we open up the show. Here, let's play it.
Two tight ends tight to the formation. First and goal at the 5. Madison, the tailback. Bryan in motion to the right. Play action. Minshew keeps it. Rolls to the left. Lobs near side for Bowers. Picked off at the goal line. He overthrew him, and the block was evident at the 20. Racing down the sideline. It's Surtain at the 50. They're not going to catch him. Surtain at the 20. 10. It's a 100-yard pick six for Denver.
All right, so that's the pick six. Game over. So for all you wise asses out there that think the game did not end on that play and think the coaches weren't ready to go, you're wrong. Okay? Everything was grooving perfectly. I mean perfectly. Brock Bowers' touchdown of over 50 yards. They're running the ball. They're playing defense. I mean, Bo Nix has nothing. They showed a shot of the owners, you know, the new Walmart owners, sitting down with a frown on their face. Now, here's where the game went south for me. At that time, I thought that the team really could have won the game there. Really could have won the game there. Won the game. If they went up 17-3, I, personally, JT, in third person, I don't think that Bo Nix could have came back down 14, having to be a passer, with Patrick Graham adjusting to him just having to be a passer, and won the game. But I will admit that I could be wrong. Because the Raiders played so poorly after that maybe Denver would have came back down 17-3. But 17-3 never happened. And we had a 10-10 game with all of this. And with everything that happened, the game was over. Now, I want to be very careful here. Because I like Gardner Minshew. And I've seen Rich Gannon throw a pick six. Plunkett's done it. Stabler's done it. Everybody's thrown a pick six. Quarterbacks all throw a pick six. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Remember Patrick Mahomes last year to us? So it's a shame that Gardner threw a pick six, because Gardner got off to an unbelievable start in the game, and Gardner was ready to have his first big game. And then he was toast. Done. It's over. Too big for him mentally. Too big for him mentally. Too big for the team to react. And now, after that play, you can criticize the coaches all you want. But how dare you say that they weren't ready to play, or they didn't come to play, or they weren't ready to win. They had the game. They could have shut the game down at the end of the first quarter. They were playing so good. And then that mistake happened. And then reality set in, and they got boat raced. So if you're going to call in on the game, be very careful with me today. And that is a warning on radio because my name's on the show. Be very careful when you describe what happened in the game because I host the pre- and post-game show and know exactly what happened. Okay, I saw the game just like you, and I know what actually happened. So you might be so pissed off, you think that the team was down 17-3, you'd be wrong. The team traveled well. They traveled well. They warmed up well. They were ready to go. Max decided to play. They got off to a lead. They were great, not good, great early, and one play blew up the game. What more do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the fourth quarter? Okay, misery loves company. You want to talk about all the penalties? Absolutely. You want to talk about this or that? Go ahead. But what I'm telling you overall is don't tell me that these coaches didn't prepare this team during the week. The first quarter of the game was really good, and it was on the players who imploded on the field, not the game plan. The game plan wasn't to throw a pick six to Patrick Surtain in the end zone. He didn't even know the ball was there. He couldn't believe it. That's what happened. Now we have what we have, the aftermath. The aftermath is, what do you want to do from here? Okay, what do you want to do from here? Do you want to go in the tank? Then get off my radio show. I don't need you this week. I got thousands of Raider fans, thousands who listen, stream the show that want to beat Pittsburgh. Okay, so if you want to bail, you have the right to do that. I'm not going to go tell you to do how you're going to do it. You bail the way you want to do. Is the season slipping away? Absolutely, if they don't beat the Steelers. So all week long as I get here, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to be able to do this. So we're going to do a couple of things today. Today we're going to be brutally honest on what happened in the game, which I don't like to be mean, right? I'm not mean. I'm a radio host here. I'm angry. I'm very passionate. I get pretty upset from time to time. But overall, if you know me, I think I could figure this out pretty good. But I'm not going to sit here and say that the sky is falling when Pittsburgh lost last night, played till 1 in the morning, didn't get out of the locker room till 3 in the morning, have lost 2 in a row, and they have to fly to Vegas on a short week, and they don't have a quarterback that's really any good. So I'm not. I like this game for the Raiders. And after this game, if the Raiders don't win, I think we know where the season's going. There's plenty of football left. Plenty of football left. But, you know, when it comes to this, you know, speaking the truth about what happened, if you listen to my show, I'm highly critical all the time. Highly critical. Okay? Highly critical, and I work for the team. But you want me to be more critical because you don't care about me in this situation, which I'm fine with. You're kind enough to listen for a few hours a day. What more can I ask of you? But you're not inside my life where I'm trying to manage this space and try to get people to be entertained, to listen, to go to events, go to remotes, drink Modelo's with me, have fun. Because that's what life's about. And believe me, I'm pained when I lose these games. It hits me hard when we lose these games. And yesterday, game was over. Pick six, game over. I didn't think the game would be over at that point. Oh, my God, the game was over. Oh, my God, was the game over. Holy crap, was the game over. Now that's the second part of the monologue because we got so many partners, thankfully. We'll say hello to Tito's Handmade Vodka, the original Handmade Vodka, the most successful brand out there, proud partner of the show. Now the second half of the game we can really dive into and we can get brutally honest on that. Why did the team collapse? Why is the team not tackling? Ooh. Remember business decisions a couple weeks ago? I watched the game in the second half. Didn't see a team, you know, Max always, but didn't see a lot of players like really, really tackling at their best, wink, wink. And now you should have a decision coming up, which we don't have today, on the quarterback. So let me get to the quarterback quickly. Here's what I think on the quarterback. I said you only make a quarterback change if they started Aiden this season, which they could have. Aiden didn't do too much in the preseason. Either did Gardner. I told you why they went with Gardner. More experience, more mobile. Yes, yes. More experience, more mobile. Tough early schedule against these really big defensive weapons, Khalil Mack, Myles Garrett. You give Gardner Minshew a shot. But if you went with Aiden O'Connell, I'd say the same thing. Now what you do is you have one chance all season to have a spark, a real legitimate spark where you can go into the team meeting, you can make the quarterback change, you do that now. You do that now. If they don't do it, I support the coach, as always, and I'll back the coach with staying with Gardner Minshew. But if you want the pop, you want the big move, you got to do it now. You can't go to 2-4. And if Aiden O'Connell has any juice, he better have it for Pittsburgh. I'll tell you that much. So if you're going to break the glass, do it with me. Break the glass. Okay, break the glass and get ready to pull the alarm. You can only do it once. That's it. You can only do it once. And you better do it now. And give Aiden O'Connell a chance to hype the team up. Gardner's a good teammate, man. With Rich Gannon and Eric Allen this morning, I didn't see Gardner Minshew's locker room session. He was fantastic. He's like, this is on me. He said, I killed the momentum. And he goes, I was telling Aiden afterwards when he went in, he was trying to help Aiden. Great teammate. No one's ever said Gardner Minshew isn't a good teammate. Right? He is. Jimmy Garoppolo, great teammate. Didn't work out here. Didn't work. Can't deny he wasn't a good teammate. His teammates say they were. So I think now you got to make the move. You got to go with Aiden and you got to hope it works up against TJ Watt. But they got to worry about Max Crosby. You know, I think Max is better than TJ Watt because he plays more. TJ Watt comes off the field more than Max. So, but you know, TJ Watt got his 100th career sack. Max is not there yet. So with everything that I just said, everything, yeah, it was a really bad game. A lot of bad things have happened. Now we're seeing the warts, as someone explained to me. It was very interesting. Someone said, you know, you might have one wart on your thumb, and then all of a sudden you got seven. We got a lot of warts now. And those warts got to be treated. And again, as I said last week, very gingerly and very polite, if multiple people, not one, if multiple people don't want to play for this football team, get them out of the organization. Get them out. Not saying who. There's a lot of things out there. We had business decisions. We had players benched. The year before, we cut Marcus Peters. There's other scenarios. It happens in football. But it seems like to me, and maybe I'm too close in the bubble, it seems like to me there's an awful lot of blanking and moaning going on. And when I talk to the legends, remember, when I talk to the legends, they won. They won Super Bowls. Remember, they're different. They got gold jackets. They won. But I'm talking about the guys who haven't won. They're all on the same page with me. They're like, give me a break. No one gives a crap if you're having a bad day and you're getting paid by Mark Davis to be a professional football player. You get your ass out there and you try to win a game for your team. And not everybody's on the same page, possibly. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me if everybody isn't on the same page. So that's it. That's pretty much all I got. I will move on relatively quickly to Pittsburgh after today. I think that the Pittsburgh game could be a scenario where the Raiders... Now, if this was a team, like, who's really good right now? Who in the league, other than Kansas City, would be coming into Allegiant Stadium that you'd be worried about? I mean, really worried about. Who? Let me open that up at 702-365-9200. Who would you be like, oh, my God. No. Don't tell me we're playing them. Cincinnati can't get a win. Barely buy a win. They're a mess. We don't have Buffalo on our schedule. They're one of the good teams. We already beat Baltimore. So I'm talking AFC. Who would you look around and say, oh, my God, I'm scared. I'm shaking in my boots. Jacksonville? They're coming in later on in the year. You're not too worried about them. Pittsburgh is a team that I'm not sitting around going, I'm scared to death about Justin Fields. It's the same thing I said about Bo Nix. But what'd that get me? I mean, if we go up 17-3 on Bo Nix, I don't think Bo Nix can win the game. If you go up, you know, 10-0 on Justin Fields, which you can do, I think you can win the game. Or if you're sitting, it's 2017 at the start of the fourth quarter, I think you can beat the Steelers. because I don't look at the Steelers and I don't look at them and say, oh my God, they're unbelievably awesome. I watched that whole game last night. I was on the air live during the game. And as I was taking a look at it, I was like, okay. You know, one of the things I'm going to talk about this week that's important is Pittsburgh's going through a lot now, too. All of a sudden, the morning shows, the debate shows are all sitting around going, quarterback change, quarterback change. So I asked someone today in the Raiders building, a non-player, who would you rather play, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? Oh, he said, oh, Russell Wilson, because he hasn't played yet. There's going to be rust, a rust factor. Well, we dealt with that with Justin Herbert week one. He didn't play at all in the preseason, and he had his foot in a boot. And he was supposed to be rusty and was, and we didn't win that game. So I don't know what you want to see. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But, yeah, I am, you know, I'm pretty pissed off. But I didn't make it a must-win game this week because I made it a must-win game against Cleveland. And it's probably a must-win game against Pittsburgh. We beat 2-0 in the AFC North. Everyone's like, oh, we lost in the division. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is get to 10 wins. It doesn't look like this team today is capable of getting to 10 wins. That could change if they get to 3-3. Yes, if you want to go all in on this show with me and stick around for a little bit, stick around for a week. Okay, if we get to 3-3, 3-3 is, again, like I said last week, 2-2 would look really good, and it kind of did. 3-3 would look Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, 4th of July around this place. Well, I can tell you that. We can get to 3-3. We got a lot to talk about. But really bad performance. I think one play tanked the game. I like the player who threw the pick six. I don't have anything personally bad to say about Gardner. He's a great teammate. It's just a shame he threw that ball, got away from him, and the game was lost. If you see it any differently, you have the right to have it here. Just don't make it personal. There's a lot of Raider fans now making it really personal. This coach, Antonio Pierce from Compton, who won a Super Bowl with the Giants as coach, he's a badass. So when you type anything, just in the back of your mind, if you type anything, remember what would happen if you went up to anybody in life and said to their face what you're typing, especially with the Raider logo next to your eggshell. Calm down, everybody. JT, Raider therapist. The great Chris in West Oakland begins.
Hey, JT. You know, I'm not going to talk about going forward in the season, how many wins we can stack up. I'm going to do what you normally do on Mondays and just stick with the game yesterday. Number one, you took the words right out of my mouth. This was not on the coaching staff. This team came out prepared, ready to play. For 15 minutes was the best they looked all year. Moved up and down the field. They were calling a couple of plays outside the box. Minshew was moving around, making plays outside the pocket. And it all unraveled on one play. And you're right. One play shouldn't turn a game around, but it did. And to your point when you said, well, why can't this team stack wins? Why can't – when you don't have elite quarterback play in the NFL, JT, it's tough to stack 2, 3, 4 wins in a row, which is why I think this team going forward has no shot at getting to 10 wins because I just can't see them with the quarterback play going forward good enough to win 3, 4 in a row. Pittsburgh, Carolina, all the teams they played – the Raiders are right in that lump. They're capable of winning all these games, but they're also capable of losing all of these games. I don't see they'll lose 3 or 4 in a row. I certainly don't see them winning 3 or 4 in a row. But that play yesterday, look, I'm with you. Gardner Minshew seems like he's a great teammate. He's a great guy. But when I even called last year when they made the signing, look, I'm not mad at Gardner Minshew. You signed a guy that's basically been on his fourth team in 6 years. He's average at best to below average. Don't get mad at Gardner Minshew when he plays like that. This is not an elite quarterback. Aiden O'Connell is not an elite quarterback. We'll talk about that.
Hey, Chris, 1 second. You get upset about any NFL playing quarterback, NFL starter, when he makes a really bad decision and pass. You better believe you do. I agree with you. If you're average, your ceiling isn't high. Aaron Rodgers is a 4-time MVP. He threw 3 picks in London. He's getting roasted in New York radio and syndication. So if you throw a pick 6 that cost your team a game, you're going to catch some heat.
As well he should, and I said that one pick through the game. My point is the decision makers in a Raiders organization that thought a Gardner Minshew was going to be the guy to lead us to the playoffs, that's the mistake they made. I'm not mad at Minshew for being who he is. Yeah, that was a horrible pick. Gardner Minshew is who he is. He's a mediocre to average quarterback at best. He's on his fourth team in 6 years for a reason. Aiden O'Connell, there's nothing special about him going forward. Mobility, arm strength, accuracy. I want to be wrong. I want them. I'm just saying, in the NFL, if you don't have an above average to elite quarterback, you have nothing. The Raiders don't have that, which means it's going to be really hard in the NFL because the only thing that stacks wins in this league, for the most part, is elite quarterback play. Yeah, I'm mad at the interception yesterday. Absolutely, it cost them the game. It wasn't the coach's fault. But another play that you didn't talk about enough, JT, and I wonder if it would have changed things, the penalty, 59-yard field goal at the end of the half, you get a stupid leverage penalty, allows them to go up 13-10. That was also a momentum swing where I know the pick six was bad, but it kind of stabilized after that. When they made that field goal going into halftime and then coming out is when the game turned. And what did I say the keys to victory going forward? Penalties and mistakes. Let the other team make them. The Broncos pretty much played flawless football. The Raiders had 11 or 12 penalties and three turnovers. We are not good enough to overcome those things. That's what I'm saying. Again, I don't know what they do going forward. I'm behind Gardner Minshew. I'm behind Aiden O'Connell. But I don't believe I'm crazy for being skeptical where these guys could lead us. I told you since last year, I want to be wrong so freaking bad, JT, but I haven't been. So we'll see going forward. Absolutely they can beat Pittsburgh. Oh, and one more thing. I'd rather play Justin Field for one reason. I would always rather play the guy that's not as good a passer. Russell Wilson's a much better passer than Justin Fields. Oh, and one final thing on the defense. It's not as dominant as it was a year ago, and I know injuries play a part. But what turns around games in the NFL, JT? Turnovers. Where's our secondary? We've had two turnovers this year. Both of them came off of lucky tip balls. Where's Jack Jones been? He hasn't been near a football all year. At some point, the secondary's got to step up, make a game-saving play, a game-changing play, an interception, a pick six, a scoop and score. Because when you have an offense that's struggling to score points, the defense, which was supposed to carry you, has not been doing that.
Okay.
We need turnovers big time. But anyway, you know, JT, it's never personal with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so damn frustrated with this team because it's like Groundhog Day every single freaking year. But anyway, I'm not jumping off the bandwagon yet. 2-3 is not a reason to sound the sirens. But I'll give you a call later about Pittsburgh, man. But
thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. And I know how frustrating you are. That's why you're such a great caller. Consistent, high energy, to the point, fast-paced. What you're supposed to do. Not everybody can be Chris in West Oakland on the radio, but everybody who gets on should strive to be at their best and do a good job here. And this is a tough one because what could have been 17-3 seemed like a reality. It really did. And does it change the game? Hell yeah, it changes the game. Changes everything. You got a team over 500 with a chance to go 4-2 at home. So yeah, that pick six was brutal. Brutal. Because it pretty much was the beginning of the end, and the game didn't have to be the beginning of the end. Too bad. Got to get past that one and get ready for the Berg. JT in Vegas.
He motions to the right. Minshew with play action to Madison, trying to settle on the pocket. Off his back foot, deep down the middle of the field. Bowers jump ball at the 35, and he takes off down the sideline. 15, 10, touchdown Raiders! Brock Bowers, first career NFL touchdown, is a 57-yard jump ball that he caught and took off for a score.
We'll remember Brock's first touchdown. It was a beauty on the road in Denver. JT back with you. Brought to you by the 872 Laborers, led by Tommy White, building this city on time and on budget. Thanks to Tommy and his entire team here as they are working, and they work a lot, and they do an unbelievable job. Mark Anderson joins us, insider here in Vegas. And Mark, now that we're a big boy town, we have professional hockey and professional football. This was one of the worst weekends. The Aces are out, the Raiders lose, and UNLV, ranked in the top 25, they go down. Not a memorable weekend in Vegas.
No, definitely not that. Who would have thought that the UNLV loss would have been the most surprising loss of the weekend back a few years ago, right? But, yeah, It was a tough weekend all around for the local teams.
Yeah, I'm going to start with UNLV. I was at the game, and normally I didn't have a dog in the fight. I wanted UNLV to win. I had Syracuse fans with me, friends with me. I thought they got robbed by the refs. A lot of big calls went against UNLV down the stretch and in overtime. Did everybody pick up on that?
Well, I know that roughing the passer call is the one that people are really talking about. But, you know, UNLV, I think, was also its own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, it put itself in position to where a call or two could really hurt it. And, you know, I think not going for the touchdown and that, fourth and short, I think that was costly, too. Mm. I think that was a bad decision. So, I try not to be a blame the ref guy because I think ultimately teams dictate whether they win or lose. I mean, obviously, every once in a while you get a call that's so egregious that you can't help but not talk about it. But I think UNLV needs to look at itself in this situation.
Yep. Mark Anderson's our guest. So for the Raiders, just give me the demeanor you think of the organization, being around, being at the press conferences. There's a lot of noise last week, mostly from Devontae Adams and his team looking like, it's no debate, Devontae is looking for a trade, and the Raiders want a certain return on their investment here. But how much of that noise do you think affected the team, especially when the game got out of control in the second half in Denver?
Yeah, I do wonder if it kind of hung over the team. I mean, I do think if Gardner Minshew gets him into the end zone and doesn't throw that pick six that goes 100 yards the other way, I think the Raiders probably win the game. I just think it's a whole different mindset. They're getting ready to take control, and then it just flipped. And usually you don't usually see one play having that dramatic effect, especially when it's fairly early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like a different game after that. And I do wonder if it all kind of came to a head with the players in the locker room, and maybe they lost some of their focus after that. Maybe the frustration started to set in. It's really hard to know. The locker room didn't really seem to be its usual upbeat self when I was in there last week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the players weren't around. I just don't think they wanted to deal with the media, frankly. I think that was part of it, too. But there were enough players in there to where you can kind of get a sense. And it just felt like they were kind of going about their business. And it was just, you know, they're there just to work. And a lot of times you get more interaction from the players, see more of it. And I just didn't really see it last week.
Mark Anderson's our guest. Mark, what about, you know, the coaches did a good job having them ready to play, and that's what I'm fighting with the fans about, literally fighting with the fans about, who want to fire the coaches and think the team tanked. They didn't. They could have went up 17-3, so they were ready to play. The fair criticism is about the penalties, and the coaches should take that. Execution and when the game got out of hand. So when the game got out of hand, when the game could have been really heavy in the favor of the Raiders, up potentially 17-3. Where does the blame go?
Probably all around. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think. Yeah, I wouldn't single out either the coaches or the players. I think it's probably collective. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of with you on the coaches, though. You know, I thought they had a pretty good plan going in, and then once the game got out of hand, and the players, I think it was really probably more on the players at that point. Because they're still responsible for what kind of effort they bring. Now, I think I do have some issues with Antonio Pierce's decision making on just not being aggressive enough at times.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the defensive coach in him. You see a lot of defensive coaches like that who they don't go forward as much as they probably should. And I think that's something I would say that should be a fault. But generally speaking, it was a collective, but probably lenient a tad more to the players.
Mark, as we wrap it up, you're always good at what's ahead for the Raiders. I'm trying to be optimistic here because this is the flagship, and I'm a season ticket holder, and I want them to win and get to 3-3, and I'm very transparent about that. You're a journalist. This is a big spot now. I mean, the season could have went into the tank after the loss to Carolina if they didn't show up against the Browns, and the Browns scored on that opening drive. The way the Raiders actually looked so good on their opening drive in Denver. Now a wounded Pittsburgh team comes in that's lost a couple of games after that 3-0 start. They played late into Monday morning. They got to travel all the way to Vegas. It's kind of a short week for them, and they got quarterback problems too.
Yeah, and you know, the Raiders have actually done pretty well against the Steelers in recent years. So I've seen some Raiders teams are really bad, beat pretty good Steelers teams. So for whatever reason over the years, it's been a fairly good matchup for the Raiders. I do think the Raiders are going to bounce back pretty well in this game. I don't know if they'll win, but I think they'll at least be competitive. So the Steelers, I don't think the Steelers have the offense that's going to run away from them. I don't know how the Raiders are really going to necessarily move the ball on that Steelers defense, but as you mentioned, they got a lot of injuries over there. So I think it's going to be a really low scoring game. I can see it coming down to the fourth quarter, like a 13-10 game, 17-13 type of game, something like that. I think it's going to be kind of being played in the teams, winning score. So I think it's going to come down to maybe, you know, who makes the play in the final 2 minutes. Sort of like last night when we saw the Steelers and Cowboys.
Sorry to see the Aces go. They were going for a three-peat. When you look at New York and the competition, as you know, it's tough to three-peat. It just is. The level of excellence and intensity you have to keep up for well over 3 years, the training camp before that and all that. So nice run by these ladies. They put up a really good fight right down to the wire.
Yeah, and, you know, Becky Hammon has complained all season that the focus really hasn't been there with the team, except for the final 10 games of the regular season. She felt like she got it back. But, you know, you can't really flip a switch. And New York spent all season, really more than a season, they even spent about a year stewing over the loss to the Aces last season on New York's home court against an Aces team without its point guard and without a center. So they felt like that was a game that got away, a series that got away from them. They probably felt like that championship should have been theirs, and so they played all year with an edge, and you can see it in their play. And I think they're going to win the title. The Aces couldn't match up with their front court. AJ Wilson, as great as she is, she needs help, and they didn't have it against Breanna Stewart and Jonquel Jones. That's a tough front court to go against, and the Aces backcourt just went cold. Jackie Young, I don't think it's been the same since the Olympics, and Kelsey Plum's up and down, and neither one of them shot well yesterday. When they don't shoot well, the Aces are in big trouble, and New York took advantage.
Thank you, Mark. See you soon. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, JT. Take care of yourself.
Always love having Mark Anderson on. He's such a good journalist, has strong opinions. Order like a champ with Raising Cane's mobile app or online at RaisingCane's.com. You'll be able to feed the whole team this football season with cooked-to-order chicken fingers, crispy crinkle-cut fries, buttery Texas toast, and the reigning MVP, the signature Cane sauce. So grab your crew and make your next game day meal a touchdown. Game days are better together. Game days are better with Cane's. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, official chicken fingers of the UNLV Rebels. Go Rebs as we continue on. So we're taking your calls. That's pretty much it. I got Sam Munson at the top of the hour. Let me get one in here quickly. He joins us at the top. Brian in L.A. on the Raiders mobile app. Go ahead, Brian.
What's going on, JT? I called you a couple months ago. I told you how much I used to listen to you when I was actually incarcerated. Listen to you every day on the radio, and good to be back. And I'm with you, JT. That Gardner Minshew interception, momentum, we call it Uncle Mo in sports. When Uncle Mo switches teams, it's almost impossible to get back from it. Momentum switched on that Gardner Minshew interception, and it did. I was watching the game, and from that point on, we just think offensively we had our feet in the mud. We couldn't really move the ball. Then, like your first caller stated, you know, that ridiculous 15-yard penalty on the kick, on the field goal. Just everything went against us at that point. Our offense, if our offense could just move the ball a little bit, our defense wouldn't be begging for our defense to make a play.
Hey, our offense, hey, my friend, game. The offense has to play and make plays. We can't be. We just can't be this offense that everybody says, oh, going into the game, we'd be lucky to have 17. There's a lot of people getting paid, man. Millions upon millions of dollars in payroll and coaching salaries to move this football and score some points. I mean, what the hell's going on around here? We can barely score points in every game. The offense has to find a way to stay on the field and score.
If our offense could put a couple scoring drives together, we wouldn't have to beg for our defense to make a play at the end of every game just to keep us in the game.
Yeah. Well.
Secondly, real quick, as much as I love Devonta, he's a great player. He was one of the. As soon as we got him, I bought his jersey. We need a trigger man. We need a field general. And it doesn't do no good to have Jerry Rice without Joe Montana or Steve Young.
Yeah, that's fair.
We got to get a pick. Look, I might be saying something that might be blasphemy to some, but with Brock Bowers on the field, Michael Mayer's just not going to touch the rock a lot. Trade them both. Get a couple of decent picks. Stockpile some picks so that we can move up in the draft and get a trigger man. It's more important to have a great quarterback than it is a great receiver. We got to do something.
They're trying, man. I agree.
Now.
Appreciate the call. I listened to Vinny this morning on the morning tailgate, and he's like, "Give me." They tried to get Jaden Daniels. They were not going to trade the Commanders for Jaden Daniels. The Raiders are looking for quarterbacks. They are. They settled on Gardner Minshew because he was the best available experienced backup who could become a starter because they had Aiden O'Connell, who was a drafted fourth rounder who became a starter. So they let a relatively young player in Aiden O'Connell come in and compete for the starting position because they drafted him in the fourth round, and he played a lot, and he played okay. Some games he played well, and they brought in probably the best available backup. You could have, if we would have got Joe Flacco, Flacco's been outstanding. Flacco would have been a much better move. He would have, because he's just playing better. Remember, Baker Mayfield was available. I sat in the studio and said, get Baker, after the game against L.A. Baker was available. But not many people believed me because they thought Baker was too erratic emotionally. Or they just remembered what Baker did when he was getting buzzed in Oklahoma and he wouldn't have been a good fit here. So the Raiders are trying to get a quarterback. Come on, everybody. I mean, if Arch Manning's available and it's going to take six first-round picks, they're not going to get him. And they're not going to be able to get him. He takes three first-round picks. So the Raiders are in the hunt long-term for quarterback, coming up in free agency of the draft. But we're going into week six and got to get a win against Pittsburgh, and they don't have an ideal quarterback situation either.
You got to keep playing. You got to get off the field on third down. Tackling. You know, if there's one thing I know we're probably disappointed on, live and probably going to watch on film, is the tackling. Got to do a better job getting them on the ground.
One of those do your job, right? Tackle better. I think the Raiders need to do that with Pittsburgh coming to town. JT Monday, the brothers have your back. The DiCastaverde Law Group. Alex and Orlando DiCastaverde. Two of the best to ever do it. Las Vegas personal injury attorneys. They've recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for their clients. And they're a family-run law firm since 1989 based on their proud dad legacy. And I talked to both of them about their dad and how much their dad was able to leave Cuba, come to the States, build this law firm. This is work ethic was second to none. Family meant everything to them. So it's family. The DiCastaverde Law Group, if you get into an accident or injured, you need the best of the best, 702-222-9999. You should call them if you get into an accident in Las Vegas. They're my guys. They'll be your guys. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. Here's Robert in Portland. Robert, what's going on, man?
Well, I don't know, Brick. I look at the long run. This year, we knew we had what we had at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of injuries, and you've cited that very well on defense. Mm. And it is what it is, but this league right now, the injuries are unprecedented. Just to show you what's going on, when Miami lost their quarterback, look what they turned into. They actually turned into a worse team than we were because they didn't really have a great backup. Mm. I think this is going to be a long year, one of those weird years that you're going to have. I had Cleveland in the playoffs. Mm. They're out of it. I mean, I would never say they're totally out of it, but it's just the feel I have is that, you know, the Raiders, if they can just stop from losing a bunch of games in a row, take care of the Adams situation, do the best they can on a return, and just forget about this game. This game was, you know, lost, of course, with Minshew, but we knew at the start of the year that we had two quarterbacks that weren't horrible. They were pretty good. But the thing is, a lot of other teams are going to have hiccups or they're going to have major injuries. I think a couple more quarterbacks are going to go down, and I think we're going to have an unusual playoff scenario where the you know, they'll have a chance going into the last four games to actually make the playoffs. Well, so I'm not giving up on if they lose to Pittsburgh this week.
Thanks, Robert. I think losing to Pittsburgh would kind of take that dream away. Beating Pittsburgh, you would know at a minimum. At a minimum, if they beat Pittsburgh, they'd have the same record as Pittsburgh, a better record than Cleveland, Cincinnati, the same, if not better record than the Jets. And they'd have, I think, the same record as Denver, because I think Denver's going to lose a lot of games. They got to get to 3-3, man. I mean, when I did this radio show in the summer. In the summer, we were hoping for 2-2, and I was hoping for 4-4 when I looked at the schedule. 4-4. To me, was really good with Kansas City mixed in, Cincinnati, right, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. I was, you know, not sitting here predicting every game, but I said to myself, 4-4 would be good. 3-3 would be exceptional now, because if they win and they get to 3-3, it's in the middle of the entire hunt of the AFC. Forget about the AFC West. I'm talking about the entire American Football Conference. And they're 60 minutes away from getting to 3-3. Is that going to make everything better? No. The team doesn't play well. They're not a very good team right now. They got a lot of guys injured, but they can beat Pittsburgh. They can. And if Pittsburgh had Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw in their prime, no chance. No chance. I would tell you that now. They'd have a puncher's chance. Now they can get it done. Raider D in Oakland. D, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, JT? Yeah, man, that game yesterday, the most disturbing thing was that they were rushing four men and getting pressure. That shouldn't happen. That offensive line, it has to get stabilized. I think we had a coaching staff that can do that. I'm not sure if we had a personnel too, but they need to really address that. And to me, watching the defense, it's a different defense than the last five games of last year, because we were more attacking offenses. You couldn't tell where the blitz was coming from or who was coming. This one, it looks like, you know, we're rushing four, or when we do send someone, it's like it's telegraphed who it is and where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So, man, it's like I said, it's a long season. We're not going to be riding on the up and down. I think when we can string a couple of wins together, you know, which we should be able to, you know, things are going to settle down and we'll be all right. Like you said, we need to get this Pittsburgh one, but it comes with applying pressure to them, not letting them dictate to the Raiders.
Yeah, thanks, D. I appreciate it. As far as the stats look, there's only three guys that had a tackle for – a couple had a tackles for loss. Christian Wilkins had two. Spillane had two. Max had two. Jack Jones had one. Where's Nate Hobbs? Anybody know where Nate Hobbs is? Like, what's going on? When is Nate Hobbs going to take over some football games? Isn't he in a contract year, him and Diablo? I mean, what's going on? We need some guys to step up for the other guys who are injured. Not seeing it. Tyree Wilson. All right, every time he makes a play, one tackle, no solos, no sacks, no pressures. No tackle for losses. Come on, man. Like, guys got to step up and play better football. They got to elevate their game because too many other players are injured. Thanks to everybody on YouTube. What a day with that algorithm. Appreciate everybody there.